3-4 years ago. So that's quite some time, isn't it? No, maybe not. Okay. Anyway, we're so glad to get into the Word here, Sway versus Swag. Before I do that, I just want to recognize two people or two couples. First, yesterday, it was exciting to see Pastor Doug and Rachel Hinton. We know them well. They're part of our church. And yesterday, they changed their licensure. So he's an ordained minister. Well, he was an ordained minister in the Wesleyan Church and has just felt a draw, both of them, to the Church of the Nazarene and specifically to Anderson First Church. And so today they're here with us, and they transferred that yesterday, and so we're excited to celebrate that with them. They're already a great part of us, and so glad to have them. And then we have Chaplain, and he taught me yesterday how to say his name. And Sheila, I'm going to let you say it. So, but we have Reverend Bocus. Is that how you say it? Bacchus. Okay, see, I got it wrong, and I practiced today. Bacchus with us, and Sheila, and he also transferred and is a reverend in the Church of the Nazarene, and his daughter's also, their daughter's also here with us as well, and we're excited to have all of you with us, and we'll be praying for you. He's serving as a chaplain at Ball Memorial, and so we need to just love on them, and we're excited that all of you are here with us, and so we celebrate that transfer as well. So God bless you, and God be with you here at AFC. So we talked last week, if you were not with us last week, we talked about this idea of sway versus swag. And those that have swag, they just are what they are. And I believe that we as Christians, I know you didn't go into this expecting that, but we as Christians, we need to have swag. We need to be who we are, and we need to be okay with that. We are God followers. We stand with Jesus, and we've got to have that swag so that no one questions it. You know, people with swag, they don't question, they just are who they are. Those that sway, we know what swayers are like, right? Not swingers, swayers. You know, swayers are, sorry, that's been on my mind, I shouldn't be. I heard a story this week and just shocked me to no end. But anyway, we cannot be swayers. Church, we got to stand with Christ in a way that people just know that's the swag and that's who we are. And so we're going to be going through the book of Daniel for the next couple of weeks. And most of you will say, my goodness, I've been through Daniel before. Well, I hope that as we go through Daniel in these next couple of weeks, you gain some fresh insight and some new insight. So if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to chapter 1 in Daniel, we're going to actually skim through the whole chapter. We're going to work on a chapter a week, and so we're going to move. So you may want to read that before and after services in the coming week. So if you have that, if you would stand with us this morning. Now listen, especially those of you that are new, I don't read this very well, so I'll do my best. We're going to start in verse 1. Now remember, this comes during a time of exile. It comes during a time when God's people were sent all over the place. God's people have been taking over, and now we know that they're in the years of exile. And so this is not a good time for the life of God's people. What's beautiful, though, is that we see in the book of Daniel, we see through the life of these people that continue to stand with him, that their lives aren't that rough. And that they continue to serve Christ in a mighty way, even though the obstacles that come their way seem impossible. God has a way to work through the impossible. Starting in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall into his power, and many of us know why and the history behind that, as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. These he brought to the land of Shinar and placed the vessels in the treasury of his gods. Then the king commanded his palace master, Ashpenaz, to bring some of the Israelites of the royal family and of the nobility, young men without physical defect and handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom. Think about this. These are good men, solid men, endowed with knowledge and insight and competent to serve in the king's palace. They were to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the royal rations of food and wine. They were to be educated for 3 years so that at the end of that time they could be stationed in the king's court. Among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the tribe of Judah. The palace master gave them other names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. I always say that wrong. Hananiah, he called Shadrach, Mishael, he called Meshach, and Azariah, he called Abednego. Now here we see, and I'm going to summarize the rest of it, and so stay with me for a second here. I don't want to butcher the rest of it. But I want you to see that all of a sudden, they are pushed into a society that's totally different than them. Then they come and say, hey, you've got to eat of the king's food. You know it because you read it before. What was the king's food? It was food that was sacrificed to other gods. Now immediately we know that Daniel cannot take of that. And so he goes to this palace master and he says, hey, we can't take part in this. We can't part. This cannot come into our bodies. Our bodies are holy beings. Think about this. This is a huge thing. He's actually speaking to us in this day. My body is a temple for God and I cannot take that in. Well, the palace master, he's a little nervous. He's scared of the Lord that he serves. If you don't do this, Daniel, the king's going to have my head. And Daniel says, oh, no, I promise you. Let us just eat vegetables and let us, it's going to be okay. Somehow, Daniel was convincing enough, and I believe it was God through Daniel. And he said, okay, I'm going to let you do that and check you in 10 weeks. 10 weeks go by, and what do they find? That Daniel is 10 times stronger, wiser, greater church. That's when we say no to the world. And then over and over again, we say no to the world. Then all of a sudden, they look at us and say, why are you 10 times stronger? Why is AFC the way it is after coronavirus? It's because AFC stood with Christ over and over and over again, week in and week out. You were faithful. Church, this is what happens. And so Daniel came before the king, and then all of a sudden, he found him wiser and greater than all those that were given the palace food, the stuff that was supposed to be the greatest. It'd be like sitting at the president's table where there's a personal chef that makes the food to your personal needs. But yet, the vegetables and water at the end were found to be greater. God, today we thank you for your word. We thank you for the willingness of Daniel and those three men to stand with you. Today, speak to us. Today, challenge us, God. Today, move in our lives as we go through the scripture. God, allow this to be an enlightening time. Not only an enlightening time, but a time where we're sent out, ready and equipped with your equipping power. We come against the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we trust you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You ever been a part of a holy club? You're part of one. Come on now. You're the Church of the Nazarene. You came to church. We're a little holy club. Most people on the outside would say those crazy Nazarenes. Well, that's okay. I want to just challenge you for a second here. And I was never really part of the like cool club. Were you any of you part of the cool club? You know how that works. It's like the cool kids and the mediocre and then or that's how the world, you know, describes them. And that's just not who we are. It doesn't matter who or what you look like. But anyway, there was this club called the Holy Club, and Charles and John Wesley were a part of it. And you say, well, my goodness, why were they a part of this type of club? Well, what do you think they did? They did things like clubs do. They studied the word. Y'all, are you awake? Do clubs nowadays study the word? And, you know, well, we do, right? Well, anyway, they studied the word. They challenged each other. They prayed with each other. They met daily. And then immediately after they took in the word, after they ate it together, after they shared together, prayed together, they went out. In fact, as they describe what they did, they went to the most destitute people in their society and ministered to them. That was the outpouring of reading the word. They went to the most destitute. And then their fellow classmates at Oxford often said to them, you're the radicals, you're crazy, why are you doing this? Think about it, they were at Oxford. There are these studious people that were coming to them and saying, what are you doing? Why are you studying in this way? And then why are you down? You're an Oxford student. Why are you down ministering to the destitute, to those that are just not acceptable? And they would say, that's how the Spirit and the Word is guiding us. And so they were part of this holy club. Think about this here. Daniel was kind of a part of this holy club. But see, the difference is here, they had no choice. They were kind of pushed into it. They were in exile. They came along and said, well, you four are going to work for the king. You're going to spend 3 years in training and study so that you can be before the king, so you can advise the king, so you can serve the king. And all of a sudden, this little holy club of four forms. And we see this kind of leader out of Daniel come about, and he's the one that does much of the speaking. But we're going to see in the near future here that not only did he alone stand, but even when he was away, the other three stood for what was right and what was godly. And so they kind of had a swag about them that never changed. They were who they were, no matter what was presented to them. I want you to think about just some of the facts here, and we'll go through the facts quickly. I know not all of us love facts, but we know that during this time that Nebuchadnezzar was not yet king, and when the final battle happened and all this kind of came to a point, we see that he rises to power, he becomes the king. He was a general when they were taken, becomes the king. Here's a new king. And these major deportations happen, meaning they were taking major amounts of people and moving them all over the place. They were moving them for their service. They were moving them to do all different things against their will. Really a terrible time for those that were of God. But Daniel and his friends here kind of got maybe the better part of it. I don't know if that's true, but don't know where everybody else went. But know that God's people being deported would soon experience this. They experienced a change of name, a change of language, a change of food, and a world that did not believe in the Most High God. Church, less than 30% of the people in the United States that have been polled over the last 3 years adhere to the Word of God as their truth. We find ourselves in a world where the world is saying, "You are this," and they've given us the title. If you read the scripture, what I love about Daniel is that they give him this name. And if you see the way he refers back to his friends, what does he do? He uses their other name. Oh, okay, you can call us that. Oh, well, Hananiah, are you with me here? Meaning he didn't what? He didn't sway back and forth. It didn't matter what they called him. It didn't matter that they trained him with the best trainers. He received tremendous amounts of training from the world. And guess what? He stood. Think about this. I worry about our youth and our children. My daughter already is learning about evolution. And I have to come home and I have to hear about it. And I have to fume inside of myself and prevent myself from going crazy. Because I remember as a student when I was taught that. And so we have to sit down and speak to our daughter about that. And then on her own, she decided, I know I shared this, she decided to do a flip grid during coronavirus last year, and it had to do with God still being the creator. And I didn't prompt that, and praise the Lord for it. But in the midst of it, she just said, oh, well, it's still not true, and so I'm still going to write what's true. And in her little mind, she didn't get the email from the teacher the day after. And then the email that we had to respond to say, our daughter can say that if she wants to say that. Church, this holy club, it wasn't about being elite. It wasn't about coming to a place and saying, hey, we're the elite, we're the elect, we're the, no. See, in fact, if you read scripture, you'll know that all of what they knew, all the old, it was disappearing. What didn't disappear, what was in their hearts. What didn't disappear was who they were in Christ. Or who they were in God. They stood in his word. They stood in his promises. They were who they were, no matter how. But in fact, if you look at the way it's translated, Daniel was excited about these 3 years of being taught, not because he wanted to be like them, because he wanted to understand them, because he wanted to be able to come in later and speak truth, which we know about Daniel he gets to do, right? He gets to come in and speak truth. He gets to come in and bring clarity to that which God was speaking to an earthly, worldly leader. See, Daniel didn't want to know so that he could rise up, and Daniel wanted to know so that when things went bad, they turned to him and say, well, how do we, come on now. Church, the world should look to us and say, things are bad. How do we? And we should say, we know just how, because we serve a God that brings hope. We serve a God that never changes. We serve a God that's going to welcome you in and rise you up in him. This is what Daniel's about. So Daniel became extremely wise in the ways of them. What's interesting is that he accepted the new reality, but he didn't accept a new identity. He accepted the new reality, but didn't accept a new identity. He was who he was. He became educated in order to bring about influence. Daniel became highly educated, so much so that they looked to him to interpret their faith, but he never acted on it. He never lived it out, and he never used it. In fact, when we see him do what they were supposed to do, we're going to find that Daniel spoke the truth of God and said, this came from God, not from your language, not from your reality. And so Daniel embraced this new reality for one reason, and that was to be God's person in that time. Church, we have to embrace our new reality and say that we are here to be God's people for God's time. And I don't know if you believe that or not, but the very general yesterday, Dr. David Graves, who they've known since he was a young boy, stood and said, we are in a new age, but we are still holding on to the same identity that we always have, which is that we are God's people for God's purposes. Think about what he did. Kind of a comparison here. I was just kind of giving you an idea of John Wesley and what he did and Daniel and what he did, and they're kind of in the same spot. Everybody's looking to them and saying, why don't you just adhere to? Why don't you just bow down to? Why don't you gain the knowledge so you can gain influence? Why don't you gain the knowledge so you can gain comfort? And they both said, no, that's not what it's for. I'm not in this for that. I was talking this week to Pastor Tresina and other, my father-in-law, and reading stuff that different people have been writing and preparing for this study. And I've realized that the world is having a hard time looking at us differently because the pleasures they have are the pleasures that we have. The things that they delight in, we delight in. Now, all that's been shaken up these last couple of months. All those things are uncertain. And as a pastor, I'm questioning, how much involved am I going to get in those things when they all come back? How much should I put into sports? Into? I'm sorry, that's just where I am. I'm realizing that God's saying to his church, I put you in exile for a little bit, and I wanted to see what you're going to do. And there's pastors that are more excited than ever, like myself, and some that are saying, I'm going to quit. There's a reason. Because when we go into exile, we hold on to one of two things. His stability. Church, I'm just going to be real with you. So these are not the weeks to come if you're not ready for it. See, he was in a time of prepping Daniel. He's been in a time of prepping us to do the service of the work. I want you to think about this. No longer was the nation of God hid away in the mountains. No longer can we hide away in our churches. In fact, in California, what are they doing? They're not allowed to hide away in their churches. So they've got to be creative. I don't know if you've watched a lot of our pastors in California, but they're up against it. And they're not going with it because it's bigger than what we think. We can say it's just coronavirus. Church, it's not. They're calling on the satanic leaders to pray at the city thing. So if it was just about coronavirus, no, the enemy has used this as an opportunity. I'm not downplaying coronavirus. I don't want you to get sick. We're going to take all the measures possible. But what I'm saying is the enemy has used it as a way to get in and replace the essential place that the church should hold in the lives of people here and around the world. And see, what happened was all of a sudden they scattered the people of God. They were in the mountain. They were safe. They were in Judah. They were good. And then they spread them all over. And I believe God spread them all over so they could begin to rise up. What did Daniel do? He rose up because he stood firm with Christ. And then all of a sudden they were standing in fires. All of a sudden they were showing that God was still God. And church, as you walk out today, you're going to show that God is still God. Every person that you encounter, every person that you speak to, you have the opportunity to show that God is still God. He was preparing him. He's preparing us. The test here that you say, well, wait a minute. I mean, it was a test, but not really that big of a deal. Hey, if your wife, you came home from work and your wife said, today's the last day I'm going to cook for you. For some of us, that's a big deal because if my wife did that, I would be devastated because I depend on that. Our kids depend on that. When I cook, I don't do portions right. There's either way too much or way too little. I never get it right. Somehow she cooks, and it seems to just all, we try not to do leftovers, so it just seems to all go. Everybody eats it. There's a few scraps. When I cook, it's either, what are we going to do? Heat up the chicken nuggets, or it's, what are we going to do with all that's left? I'm like, I don't know what's, but think about it. They could have said, you know what? If you won't eat that, then you're not going to eat anything. You ever have a parent that said, you're not going to eat your Brussels sprouts? Well, forget the dessert, right? You know what I'm saying here? And so they could have come against a lot more. Think about this, church. They were in exile, meaning they were at the whim of these leaders. They had no choice. But here's what's funny. When Daniel was asked to compromise, he had a choice. Church, we have a choice. We have a choice when we go to finance this, that, or the other thing. We have a choice when we decide to gossip. We have a choice when we decide to, we have a choice when we, and the world's been watching us. And that's why in Arizona, California, Nevada, they're saying, hey, satanic leader, can you come lead our monthly prayer at the city council meeting? Church, that's why. Thankfully, not here. So Daniel was not willing to sacrifice his eating habits to defile his body. He was not willing. Now here's my thing, and this is where I struggle, and you're gonna, I hope, agree with me here. But I was nervous for the guy because the palace master seems kind of nice. He was like, well, I kind of like to let you do that, but man, he'll have my head. Well, right away in my humanness, I would say, well, forget it then. I don't want you to get in trouble, so we'll just do it anyway and we'll just make it through. Come on now, haven't you done that before? Well, wait a minute. Imagine, you know, my spouse doesn't love the Lord. If I say something to him or her, then I don't know how she's going to, but I know God's telling me, but he'll have my head. She'll have my head. I don't know. I don't know. I'm looking at this and saying, I don't know. Daniel said, well, buddy, do what you got to do. I can't eat that. That went to another God. We got a lot of gods in America. Gods that put out $512 million for one man to play one sport for 5 years. That's a god, church. Talk about wealth. That's this kind of wealth. And he said, I can't do it. We can't do it. He just stood for the holy club and said, ain't none of us doing it. I don't care what they say behind me. We're not doing it. What's funny is Daniel was the one willing to stand up. And the Bible tells us what? That he was found even wiser. Even though they did the same thing, who was the one that stood up and spoke? And then all of a sudden, the king of the world came in and said, well, my goodness, you're 10 times more this, 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 and this than even the people that were, church, it's called standing up for Christ. Daniel was willing to put his faith. So this test here, call into light our willingness to submit our will, to sacrifice, to defend the Christ culture, to risk stability, to test our true swag, to risk our health, risk our life, stand against being defiled. We've got to just say, all right, I'm willing to do these things. I'm willing to try it. The test allows God to move. Here's the thing. The test and the testing time that God has us in, it allows him to move. Well, what do you mean? I'm just going to be real with y'all because I don't think we shouldn't be. But yesterday, were you not a little discouraged, honey? We got in the car and I was just tearing. We had just left a pastor who said, and we're not live, so we can just be real. Not that we, that's not good. Anyway, but and he just said, I want to quit. A good church. And I mean, the wife, you know, as she would do to me, she probably wants to smack me half the time I'm up here, but she kind of tapped him and said, honey. And he said, no, I want to quit. And I took my mask off and said, say it again. He said, no, I just want to quit. I just want to be done. Unfortunately, he wasn't the only one we heard it from. I wish that I could say he was the only one. This coronavirus has just put the nail in the coffin. Church, we can't let that be the case. What the enemy has for us can't put the nail in the coffin on a calling, on a church. Because guess what? The pastors that I talked to yesterday that served and moved their churches forward in this time, not just for a worship service or a Zoom class, but called them to action, we're in good moods. they were good places. Like, you should see what we did during coronavirus. And I kept my mouth shut most of the time because I don't need to tell people what we do. God, that's God's business. But I was excited to hear about what other churches. And then I turned to the next pastor. I don't like pastoring. I'm like, oh gosh, really? You know, and then the next one would say, man, I can't believe what we were able to, I can't believe how our neighbors look at us. And then the next one, man, I'm done with this. I mean, it was just, I felt like I was in a, and she says, well, stop asking people how they are. Because they really, I said, because by the end of the day, I should have just stopped. Because the last one was the worst one. And I said, I should, why did I say that? You know, everybody's gone. It's the four of us standing there. And, but church, when a testing time comes, if we stand with God, guess how we come out of it? Whew. It gives me chills just to think about it. So let's just wrap this up. So what do we gain from having swag? Really look at what Daniel, what's funny is that we'd like to study, go to the scripture and say, well, God said Daniel had. Wow, no, that didn't happen. Actually, the king of the world, Nebuchadnezzar, actually said, well, Daniel, you've got a lot of wisdom. You've got a lot of insight. You've got a lot of... So all of a sudden, what God did in him, minus what the world was saying, well, wait a minute, I could maybe rely on you in the future. Well, I could maybe... Well, you could become... Well, my goodness, you're 10 times better than the people I got in here. Are you getting this? See, all of a sudden, Daniel stayed who he was in Christ and became a man of influence. So much so that the ruler said, I better look to you. So AFC, we're preparing to push you. It's just being real. This church was pushed in 1984 in the midst of when it shouldn't have been, and yet it was, and it succeeded because it stood with Christ. And we're going to do the same thing. In fact, I don't know, we send you out pictures to kind of, because it's hard, because you can't all be here at the same time. We have to stay 6 feet. We got to wear a mask. But, you know, as people in our neighborhood go and pick vegetables, and that sounds simple. And you go up to them and they say, it's so exciting to see what this church is doing. That's because of you. Well, wait a minute, I'm not there. No, you're there in heart. You're there with your checkbook. Just being real, you have been. I don't even talk about offering anymore. I said today I'm not going to talk about it. Because if our hearts are so in tune with Jesus, you want to get here and put it in there. Because you want to see what God is going to do. And if you can't do that, then you've got a world of problem before you that has nothing to do with the church or me or anybody else. You got the world in front of you, and you're bowing to the soon-to-be what we're going to learn about. But see, I feel like this church is different than that. I sat and talked to my parents, or parents-in-law, I call them my parents, but Abby, would you come? Mary, are you here? Mary, you play so beautifully on the piano. I was talking to them and just saying that, you know, one of my goals as a pastor is to really let my kids know how much the church loves them. Because it's hard as pastor kids, you know, we are careful not to say things in front of them, and, you know, we don't want to get into that rut. And, you know, ASC, I haven't had to do that. Because on my kid's birthday, the cards show up with the gum and the candy and the $1 bills. And see, that shows a heart. In church, vegetables, tire parks, essential giveaways, masks that show up at doors. I know it doesn't seem like much. And I know it seems like it's frivolous. But see, when it comes out of the heart of the Lord, it's not. And people begin to say, well, wait a minute. What are they really about? If they care about, like, what kind of food I eat, because, man, we could have just taken all that money that we spent on the tire park and the garden and all that and passed out McDonald's gift cards or gift cards down there and said, we know you're in a hard time here. But instead we said, you know what? We know that the studies show that this area, that they're not accessing fresh fruits and vegetables and those things. That's what the hospital told us. And we're going to come and we're going to partner with you in that way because we care about you even as a person. and whether you're healthy or not. And church, that's a church that we are, that we don't have to become, but that we're going to continue to be. But I want to ask you a question. The pastors, can you come up? If you're a pastor, reverend, would you all just come forward? Just stand across the front. I wonder, and this is the thing. I want you to ask this today. Just stand along there. We're not going to touch you. We're just going to reach our hand out to you and pray for you. But I want you to think right now. Are you having a hard time submitting your will? Because if you are, at the end of that season, what's it going to be like? Maybe you're having a hard time sacrificing. Well, it's mine and I love the pleasures of the world. I do. I'm working through that. Maybe you just have a hard time defending Christ. When people say, well, and you just say, well, you know what? They weren't really asking me. I know I heard it, but I should have. Maybe you just want to ask God and say, hey, I need to be bold. I can't not be bold anymore. Maybe you're concerned about your stability. Well, you know, if I really share who I am, I don't know, my workplace might. Maybe you're worried about your health over your commitment. I don't know where you stand today. But church, those are the kind of things that God wants to work through so that God can move in you. It's not just about the church or about the ministry of the church or anything like that. Lorraine, are you in here? Is Lorraine here? She was out in the foyer. Okay. But you know, you've been living it out with them. See, that's the church. But I think there are some hindrances that are keeping some of us from fully experiencing God's presence, God's move, God's will. So I'm going to seriously ask you this. If you would close your eyes, and I mean it, please, people get embarrassed. I don't know why, because it doesn't matter. But I used to get embarrassed when I was younger. But maybe you want to just come forward, and one of those things or something that you need to just pray through, and you need a pastor to pray over you. Maybe you can't come down to the altar, and you want to just raise your hand and have a pastor come to you. I don't know. And maybe it's none of this. Maybe you're just okay with okay. And you want to get out of being okay with just mediocrity in Christ. So if you would just keep your eyes closed, Abby's going to sing for us. The pastors are here. No judgment. Respond if he's speaking to you. Because you know what, church? We can be Daniels. Don't ever say or let the enemy say to you, you can't be a Daniel. You can.